We are getting ready to go back to Pakistan in November, so we're brushing up on our Urdu, and so we can still speak a little bit to them, but yes. We just are so happy when it worked out that we were coming, and this pastor and his wife and family are very dear to us, and I know when she hugs me, I'm loved. I am so loved, and I love her too. Lord bless you. You might be seated. May be seated. We were missionaries for 18 years in the country of Pakistan, and it was a while ago, a few years ago, so now we're retired. So some people say, are you going back there? Not to live, we're just going back to visit. And does anyone know where Pakistan is? Do you know, on the other side of the world? Pakistan? Pakistan? They're not Pakistanians, they're Pakistanis. Pakistan is like 10,000 miles away. It's like another world. And it's not a tourist destination. You know, there's not a lot of people going to travel agencies and say, I want to go see something in Pakistan. But if you like history, there's a lot of history in Pakistan. And many, many wonderful people, especially in our churches, there are many, many. So a lot of people say, you know, why would you go to Pakistan? It's hot. I'm telling you, you've never been that hot in your whole life, as we have every day in Pakistan, 105, 110 to 15 almost every day, especially during the hot season. And then when the rains come, then it's humidity, 100% humidity, and you're just melting right now. It's not a very pleasant place to make plans to go to, but, you know, when God tells us to do something, we're going to do it. So a lot of people ask us that question. Why would you take your little family, three little children, and go over to Pakistan? And my answer to that question is, it's Mark 16:15. Jesus said one little word, one of his last words, go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, Yesu Kename, in my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And we saw all of that happen while we were in Pakistan. We had the name of Jesus, and that's all we needed to go there. Jesus went with us. That's why we went to Pakistan. So when Jesus says go in the scripture, it doesn't mean go overseas, and it doesn't say in there go to Pakistan. When you read that scripture, it means go here in New London. Meet the people on your street, your neighbors, your children's school teachers, the clerk at the grocery store. That's your mission field right here. And so we don't want to neglect here to just go over there. We're depending on you all to do it right here in your mission field that is right here. And I believe it's a great mission field. I think everyone deserves a chance to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, going to Pakistan, like I said, was not a piece of cake. It was not a luxury cruise that we went on. But Jesus promised us he would never leave us nor forsake us. And that is why we could go confidently. We could go with the Lord and in his name. You know, the name Hanscom doesn't mean very much, but when we have the name of Jesus, we have the greatest name, and we went in the name of the Lord. And so when it was amazing when we stepped into Pakistan, it was like stepping into the book of Acts. It was just amazing. Pakistani Christians didn't know about the Holy Ghost. They didn't know about the oneness of God. They didn't know about baptism in Jesus' name, but they were hungry. They had been reading the scripture and said, oh, well, we never heard this before. Tell us about this. Tell us about this verse that's behind me. You know what missionaries preach on the mission field? This very verse. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, Yesu Kename, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we read this scripture, and you read it in your Bible, but it is a powerful gospel that works every time, in every language, in every nation, with every people. It works. It is a powerful gospel. And when the people hear the gospel, they simply believe, and they obeyed, and they received, and they are now part of our wonderful church in Pakistan. And we are just thrilled to know that the church is still moving on. Although we're not there, the church is still going on. And while we were there, we witnessed thousands of people receive the Holy Ghost. We were in big crusades. We saw them one-on-one in a little mud house somewhere when they received the Holy Ghost, maybe just a little tear. We said, Toba karo. We said, repent. And so we give them a few minutes to talk to Jesus about what's in their heart. And then we say, then you say, open my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And maybe a few tears and a few hallelujahs. And next thing you know, God is pouring out His Spirit on those beautiful people. And they start speaking in tongues. It's a wonderful sight. If you've never experienced that, it's wonderful. So one time I watched my husband. We were out in the village. And there was a canal there. And there was about 100 people waiting to be baptized. Now, this wasn't a swimming pool, okay? There was a lot of stuff floating by in this water. It's where the buffalo go during the day. So it wasn't a nice little refreshing dip in the water. But I watched my husband baptize 100 people in Jesus' name in the dirty water, because it's not about the water so much. It's about the name of Jesus. And God always joined us there. God performed many miracles. My husband traveled from village to village and preached. And it really was a wonderful life. It was a wonderful life, and I can say that truly. And a lot of times when missionaries visit your church, they tell you what the Lord is doing or has done in their work. And it's really a good testimony. It's like giving you a newsletter, an update. God is doing something wonderful over there. But very little emphasis is placed on the children of missionaries. And so I just want to talk a few minutes about my three children. And I have written a book, a very colorful book. It's called The Colorful Life of 3MKs. Now, you know, sometimes preacher's kids are called PKs. Well, missionary kids are called MKs. And our three little children had to say goodbye at the airport to their grandmothers. Took their grandchildren 10,000 miles away for 4 years. They would never get to see them again. And it was on a great adventure. That's what they thought. We're going on a great trip. This is going to be wonderful. They trusted us to take us and take them with us and to take care of them. And they witnessed a lot of things that most of you children have never seen, but you'd like to maybe one day. And they were also at the big crusades when the Holy Ghost was outpoured. It was just amazing to see all these people. And they watched their dad also baptize people in Jesus' name. And they saw the need. Pakistan is a very needy country. And everywhere you go on the streets during the day, there's beggars. They're needy there. But when they come in the church, they need God. They really need God. So we witnessed wonderful miracles. So our three little children, now grown up, were part of that revival in Pakistan. And they knew that it was a privilege to be a missionary kid. We told them all the time, kids at home would love to do what you're doing, all the wonderful things that you're doing. And they were privileged, you know, when guest speakers came to Pakistan to visit, they got to meet Brother Urshan and Brother Becton and all these heroes of the faith. And most children wouldn't have one-on-one conversation with those people, and they were our heroes. But my daughter, when we wrote the book Miracle, the author that helped us do the editing and all that, he interviewed our children. And so my daughter said pretty well up front, emphatically, that we do not resent our childhood in Pakistan or our parents taking us there. And I'm happy to say that all three of our children are involved in ministry. Their husbands are ordained, and my son is ordained in Jesus' name. So we are so happy that this cycle, what God does, you know, it's not just a little thing He does here. He does it with all of us. He does it with our family and with United Pentecostal Church, the support that we received all those years. It really was a wonderful life. And they didn't. Oh, I do want to tell you one thing. If you want to feel sorry for those little missionary kids, they had no strawberries in Pakistan. Oh, poor kid. But we had mangoes as big as footballs that y'all wouldn't know what they taste like. They're so good. So they didn't miss out on much. And we didn't have McDonald's. And someone tried to start a little restaurant called Kentucky Chicken or something, you know. But I understand they do have the chains over there now. So Little Did They Know is really a little bit of a tribute to my children. But one night we were standing at the altar, and I was just showing some children the pictures that's in here. And one little boy said, right in the middle of it, he said, "Maybe I could be a missionary." I said, "Thank you, Jesus," because I didn't know how to make a book. I didn't know how to do all this, but it all turned out, and the Lord helped me with the computer programs and all that stuff. But if I can inspire one child to give their life to God and make it their dedication and a life goal to be a missionary, they can be a missionary, and I believe that's really true. It's really wonderful. I will tell you just one story that is in the book of miracles. There are over 20 miracles in this book. And outstanding miracles that we saw, undeniable miracles. And we just thank God that we were there. We were the privileged ones to be there and be a part of it. So we were just new to Pakistan, and we were having a big crusade. And there was thousands of people there. I heard maybe 8,000, I don't know. But it was in a big tent. And the tent is called a shamiana. And it's a very colorful thing. They keep adding these colorful squares. It almost looks like a quilt up on the roof. It's just really beautiful. But I usually sit on the front row, and I was there. But I got a little nervous, I have to tell you. I thought the tent was moving a little bit. And so I just came, and I stood right beside my husband because the people were pushing. Now, they were standing in line politely to let somebody pray for them. They were desperate to have a miracle. And so as they were coming, they were pushing, and they were wanting to get up front. And we found out in the end, in the corner of the shamiana, there were sticks and crutches and actually some wheelchairs that people had left behind because they had been healed. They received their miracle in that meeting. So it was a wonderful experience. It was wonderful to know that God's miracle-working power is the same here. And so I noticed in the back, and we were always careful about crowd control, because if things got out of control, even with these pushing up front, I was a little nervous. And so I noticed in the back a commotion, and I thought, I better keep my eye on that. I'll see what's going on. And so I realized it was a couple, and they were standing, and they were securing a blanket around their baby. And I guess they realized that they were never going to get their baby down to the front. And we're talking a big crowd, thousands of people. And so they were desperate to get a miracle for their baby. And so what they did, they started to hand the baby over the heads of the people. So when it came here, very gently, I was watching that too, very gently, they passed the baby to the next people. And so they look up, and they bring the baby on down through that crowd, and the baby was right here. And I'm thinking, Lord, I'm here for a reason. I want to see what's going on here. And so I stepped real close, and I noticed that the baby's eyes were darting back and forth. So it was either blind or had a disconnect with the brain. I didn't know the full issue. But I know that when hands reached out and touched that baby in Jesus' name, those eyes came to its normal position. It was a miracle right before my eyes that God performed for that little baby right there in Pakistan. And I'm thinking, Lord, I love babies. I wanted to hold that baby. And so, but I thought, I'm never going to know the conclusion or what really happened. But people just carefully handed the baby back to the parents. And when the parents looked into their baby's eyes, they kind of threw it, you know, their excitement, threw it up in the air, but they caught it in a big hug. But that was the sign for me that their parents recognized they got their miracle for their baby that day in that big crusade in Pakistan, because God loved them so much He gave them that wonderful miracle. And I believe with all my heart that God is no respecter of persons. And I believe with all my heart that He loves us. He loves us each one. And because I love babies a lot doesn't mean He loves babies more, but He loves us. Do you know He loves you? He really loves you. He wants to perform a miracle for you tonight. And I believe that if we just reach our faith up to Him, that somehow or other, and speak His name, miracles can happen for you tonight. Lord bless you.
आज शाम को यहाँ होने में बहुत खुशी हुई. We're so happy to be here tonight, and we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yesu ke naam mein fatah hai. There's victory in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. Praise God. It's a great joy to be here with our dear friends. And we thank God for all of you. Would you stand as we read from God's Word? Jesus said, Mark chapter 10, verse 27, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. Everybody say believe. That ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Even before you see it happen. Even before you feel it, you believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. This is what we call faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. I believe it's speaking about the word of God. The word of God is in your mouth. You have been given authority. You've been given permission to speak the word of God. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what your situation is. But you have the authority to take and speak the word of God to that situation. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And the NIV version puts it this way. It says, it is with your heart that you believe. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith. Praise God. So you speak it. We're going to speak miracles tonight. We're going to speak healing. We're going to declare deliverance and healing and miracles tonight. But I believe that the Word of God is the basis of every healing and every miracle. Psalms 107:20 says, he sent his Word and healed them. I got a text message from a very dear friend of mine who's going through a real situation, real serious situation, and I encourage him with this scripture. Take the word of God and speak the word of God to that situation. And the Bible says the word will heal them. One scripture says, have faith in God. So nothing is impossible to those who believe. Say faith. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So I have come to lift up the word of God tonight and declare to you that that is where you receive your power. This is where you receive your faith. This is where you receive your miracle. But we must understand, hear me tonight, we must understand that we are always under the authority of this word. This is the authority that we are under. You may be seated. I've come tonight with great expectations. I've come tonight with anticipation. I would like to put your mind into a state of anticipation, if I could. I believe that God is going to do a great work in this place tonight. Praise God. Anybody believe it? Does anybody believe it? Praise God. It's going to happen. Praise God. We are having a miracle explosion. This is the truth. A miracle explosion. Amen. This is number 124 Miracle Encounter Services. 124. in the last 3 years, and we have witnessed miracle after miracle after miracle. Now, here's the disclaimer, all right? I am not a miracle worker. I cannot perform miracles. The pastor, he's probably got one in his pocket, but I don't. I do not. There is a miracle worker in town, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Praise God. But we must learn to exercise our faith. The devil will tell you that you have no faith. That is a lie. The devil lies. That's all he knows how to do. He lies all the time. He is lying to us. He's telling us, you don't have faith. The Bible says you have faith. The scripture says that God has given to every man, and that's woman as well, every man a measure of faith. So you have faith, but you must learn how to exercise your faith. We must learn how to stretch out of our comfort zone, of our expectations, what God is going to do in this service. We must exercise. Don't you like to exercise? I don't like to exercise physically. I'll find every excuse not to exercise. And that's why we all get lazy and we get slow and we get overweight, all right? But we must learn how to exercise our faith. More important than exercising physically, exercise your faith. The Bible says these signs shall follow the believer. I'm not the one doing the healing anyhow. So if the Lord performs a miracle, he gets all the glory. If he doesn't heal, then I don't take the fault for it. Is that all right? I just leave all that up to the Lord. But every time I lay my hand on somebody, in Jesus' name, I believe that it is going to happen. Praise God. And it will happen. So as you exercise your faith will become bigger and bigger and bigger until you can stretch your faith and you can believe God is going to do what His Word says He will do. Praise God. Let me give you a few examples here. We have witnessed so many miracles. I've got pages and pages of emails and text messages from pastors where we've been reporting great miracles that have taken place. Some miracles happen instantly. Other miracles, sometimes 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month down the road, then the miracle comes. I believe God is wanting us to exercise our faith. We're going to pray for you tonight. I want to pray for everybody in this building tonight. I want to pray for all the children. I want to pray for all the young people. Now, when you come out of that prayer line after we have prayed for you, you are to lift up both hands and you are begin to praise the Lord. You must begin to worship the Lord. Every miracle I think that I've seen happen has come while people were worshiping Jesus Christ. We must worship. And by faith, you say, well, I don't know if I got my miracle or not. By faith, the Word of God says you got it. So you lift your hands and based upon your faith, you begin to thank God for the miracle. I was preaching in O'Fallon, Missouri for Brother Buford recently. There was a child there that was autistic. The next day, the very next day, the mother of this child, his name was Ethan, put this report on Facebook. Since Sunday, he has said new words, phrases, that I've not heard before. He's able to follow instructions, transition to different tasks better. This is a huge breakthrough for our family. Praise God. I was preaching in the church in Jacksonville, North Carolina, that my son pastors there. And there was a man in that service that had cancer. He had a growth on the back of his leg. It was 16 inches long. He had spots in his lungs and in his liver. Everybody was so concerned, and we were all praying for him. In that service, God healed him of that cancer. He went back to the doctor the next week. No cancer cells at all in his body. Praise God. To God be the glory. I said, to God be the glory. In Matthews, North Carolina, we had a young man that was struggling with leukemia, and God healed him of that leukemia. Praise God. In Michigan, there was a brother there in the church that was going in 2 weeks for a liver transplant. And we prayed for him in that service. He went to the hospital for his surgery. They said, we're going to scan you, scope you one more time before we do the surgery. After a few minutes, the doctor came out and said, I don't understand. You do not need a liver transplant. We've taken you off the donor list. He said, you got a brand new liver. A brand new liver. Praise God. And so they said to him, said, what happened? He said, I don't know what happened. All I know is I went through a prayer line. Hands were laid on me in Jesus' name. Praise God. And a miracle took place. Amen. So many testimonies of miracles. Knees and wrists and hips and shoulders replacement. And so many things like this that God has done a great work for so many. Praise God. In Arizona, in Tucson, Arizona, there was a woman that came in on a walker, and she left without it. In San Diego, there was a little boy, his lung was collapsed, one of his lungs, and God healed him in that service of a collapsed lung. There was a man in that same service in Chula Vista, Brother Art Hodges Church. His blood sugar was up to 480. He's sitting in the service. He's thinking, should I go to the emergency room or should I stay and get prayed for? He decided to stay, get prayed for, went into that prayer line. His blood sugar was over 400. When he came out of that prayer line, it had immediately dropped to 82. That was a miracle. Praise God. I'm telling you what God is doing in the United States of America. I've had people say, well, why does God do all these miracles over there in Pakistan? We never see it around here. Oh, ye of little faith, all right? I feel like rebuking that person right there. That is not true. That is a lie from hell. The devil's lying to us. He's lying to us. Miracles happen in Connecticut. Miracles happen right here. How do you pronounce this place in Cassville? Miracles are happening right here tonight in this house right now. I believe miracles are taking place right now, even as your faith is reaching out. Grab a hold of that miracle and believe God for it. Praise God. In Buena Park, California, there was a man that was paralyzed on his right side. He could not open or close his hands. God healed him of paralysis and filled him with the Holy Ghost. San Francisco, there was a lady that was healed of heart disease just watching the service over the internet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Recently, I was in Tokyo, Japan, preaching a conference. And at the close of one of the services, there was a lady that came. And she had a young girl with her. And she said, Pastor, when you were here 7 years ago, you prayed for my little daughter. She had stage 4 cancer. They gave her no hope of survival. Here she is. God has healed her of stage 4 cancer. She is completely, completely healed. Praise God. In Washington, Pennsylvania, just the Sunday before Christmas, a woman there, I don't even think she was a member of the church. She was just visiting, but she came, got prayed for. God healed her of cancer. She went back to the doctor the next day in order to get surgery and to get set up for chemo. They tested her, came out and said, we cannot find any cancer cells whatsoever in your body. Praise God. Praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. I mean, God is doing something in this place. Even right now, I believe as faith is reaching out. Exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. You have faith. God has given you faith. Praise God. Some of you might know my friend, Brother Gordon Mallory. Brother Mallory was a missionary in the Philippines for many, many years. For 5 years, he's been struggling with bladder cancer. And finally, the doctor told him, said, we have to remove your bladder. He went into the hospital in Jackson, Mississippi, for the surgery. They said, we're going to scope you one more time before we do the surgery. The doctors came out and said, sir, you do not need any surgery. We cannot find even one cancer cell in your bladder. He's been completely healed by the power of God. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the Word of God. Praise God. You want to see a miracle? Lift up the Word of God. Want to see a miracle? Speak the Word of God. The Word of God will bring healing every time. If I could have that first picture put up on the screen there that I gave to you, that would be so good. There it is. This is Sister Dross. This is our missionary in Mexico. She happens to be my niece. A few months ago, she had blood clots, 3 of them, in her brain. In addition to that, she had aneurysms. I talked to the doctor. The doctor told me, said, I counted 32 aneurysms, and I quit counting, he said. I saw the MRI. Her head was absolutely full of blood. They wanted to take the top of her head off. And her husband said, no, we don't want to do that. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God for a miracle. My wife and I got on a plane in Dallas, Texas, flew into Mexico City, spent 3 days there in the hospital with her. We prayed, we fasted, we read scripture, we sang songs, we had church. And the first day we were there, she opened her eyes and she began to recognize people that were in the room. The second day, she got up out of bed and sat in a chair. She wouldn't even let us help her. She said, I won't do this myself. She got up and sat in a chair. And if you could put the little video up that I gave to you, if you can. The next one. There she is. 2 weeks later. This is her. 2 weeks later. That's a miracle right there. That's a miracle. And now she's completely well, back doing her missionary ministry. And we thank God for what has happened for Sister Danita Drost. We must believe God's word. Praise God. And we must be willing to act on His word. If God says it, then it is true. If God's word says, I am healed, by His stripes I am healed, then that means I am healed. Praise God. So we must always act accordingly to the Word of God. Praise God. You can just shut that down now if you will, please. If God's Word says I am healed, then I am healed. Amen. We must always act according to the Word of God. God watches over His Word to perform it, the Bible says. Faith says, I have it now. Faith says, it is mine. Praise God. Thus saith the Word. This is real faith. Amen. Resting entirely on the Word of God. So faith, let me give you a very simple definition of faith. Faith means that you believe that God has already done what you ask Him to do. A simple definition of faith. You pray, you ask God, you believe it's already done because you ask Him to do it. And let me add to that by saying you must believe it even though you don't see it. And if you have to see it to believe it, that is not faith. If you have to feel it to believe it, that is not faith. You have to believe it according to the Word of God because God's Word declares it is done. So here's my message to you tonight. I am a miracle, and you are a miracle. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a miracle. You are a miracle. Praise God. Praise God. There are many miracles recorded in Scripture, but the Bible also speaks about great gifts and good gifts that God gives to His people. The Bible speaks about gifts. I believe when you get a gift from God, that is a miracle. And so I want to declare this tonight. I want you to clearly understand this. I believe the greatest miracle of all is when God gives to you the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the greatest miracle of all. There is no greater miracle than God, a holy God, Almighty God, placing His Spirit inside of a human being. That is a great, great miracle. Lift your hands and thank the Lord for that. Would you do that? Let's thank Him. Praise God. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the miracle of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The Bible also speaks about the gift of grace. The gift of grace. We heard an awesome message at Winter Fire on the grace of God. The grace of God. What does that mean? We have access to God's grace, the Bible says, through faith. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we receive everything from God by His grace. And He wants you to have it. And it's free. It's free. You can't merit it. You can't work for it. You cannot earn it. It is the grace of God that gives you forgiveness for your sins. It is the grace of God that gives you remission of your sins when you're baptized in Jesus' name. Healing is by grace. Protection is by grace. Baptism in the Holy Ghost is by grace. The Bible says salvation is by grace. So this means you can't earn it. You can't work for it. It's already provided for you by the grace of God. But faith, everybody say faith. Faith is the hand that reaches in and grabs a hold of that which God has already provided by His grace. Just reach your hand in by faith and receive it. It is already paid for. It's already paid for. God wants you to have it. Sometimes, Pastor Greeley, we think if we can get a certain evangelist to come by and preach for us, maybe we'll see a miracle. I want to ask you tonight, what's wrong with your faith? There's nothing wrong with the faith that God has given to you. I thank God for great men of God that God uses and preaching to us and so forth. But I believe that the faith that you have is what will bring and give to you your miracle. Praise God. So we speak the word. We speak the word. And sickness cannot stand a chance in the face of the name of Jesus. Chains and bondage and addictions cannot stand against the name of Jesus Christ. Fear. Fear of COVID-19. Depression. Oppression. Anxiety. You know, I think the Lord wants to heal people of mental illness. And we're living in a time of pressure, such pressure. And we see a lot of that. But God wants to bring deliverance. There's deliverance from demons. Now, don't tell me all the demons are over in Pakistan. There's some there. There's a lot there. But there's a lot in Connecticut, too. They're here. Now, we don't see a lot of demon possession. There we see it in practically every service. But here, the devil works differently. The devil oppresses us. The devil harasses us. He causes fear. When you wake up in the middle of the night and your heart is pounding and you're afraid and you're anxious and you're worried all the time, there's a reason for that. I believe some of that is because of demonic oppression that is coming against you. But I got good news for you tonight. You can stand up against that in the name of Jesus. You don't have to put up with that. You can stand against it in Jesus' name. Amen. Get up in the middle of the night if you have to and kick that demon out of the house for good. Throw him out by the blood of Jesus, by the word of the Lord. Speak the name of Jesus. You don't have to put up with that. Praise God. Is this all right, Pastor? Let's go to Pakistan for a little bit, all right? Is this on the internet? All right, well, I have to be a little bit careful because we don't want to cause a problem over there, all right? So I won't mention the name of the place or city, but God spoke to us through tongues and interpretation and told us to go to a certain city. And when I heard the name of that city, I was, like some of you would be, I was afraid, all right? I was afraid. I did not want to go there. This is a tribal area. This is very close to the border with Afghanistan. This is predominantly non-Christian area. I did not want to go. And so I told God, I'm not going. And the Lord said to me, why are you afraid? Don't you understand that I am God? Do you not understand that if I call you, I go with you? I will stand by your side. Now remember, the Lord spoke those words to us through the gifts of the Spirit. And I got up off of my knees. I was praying. And I said, we're going. And so we went. And we began to preach a crusade there. We had about 350 people that was there. And I did not get through the first little song that we were singing when we had great opposition. And people were literally threatening our lives. I did not know what to do. When you don't know what to do, you pray, right? So I began to seek the face of God. As I was praying, suddenly I felt the hand of God upon my head. It felt like somebody laid their hand on my head. And I was shaking all over, trembling. And then I heard the voice of God. In 60 years of ministry, I believe the only time I ever heard the audible voice of God. I don't know if anybody else heard it. But God said, if you will pray for the sick, I will perform many miracles in this place. And I will reveal myself to these people. So I made the announcement. I said, is anybody sick? Well, everybody raised their hand, all right? They're all sick, okay? I said, if you will come down here and allow me to pray for you in the name of my God Jesus, you will be healed. Everything went quiet, all right? After a little bit, a couple of young fellows got a hold of an elderly lady that was blind, and they led her down to the front. I'll never forget it. As I laid my hand on top of her head, and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, heal these blind eyes. And when I said that, that woman started screaming and jumping up and down and shouting, I can see. I can see. God is my witness tonight. Within about 5 minutes to 10 minutes, we witnessed three blinded people instantly healed, one right after the other. We began to pray for the sick. God performed many miracles. Then we set the people down and they listened. I want to tell you about the God that has performed these mighty works. The greatest miracle of all was that God raised up a church in that city. We had over 100 people get the Holy Ghost in 3 days. We baptized many people in Jesus' name. God raised up a church in that city. And that church today is also a very strong church and has planted many other churches in that area. I tell you, if God can raise up a church there, He can raise up a church anywhere in this world. One day, my wife and I was at the church in Lahore, and it was through the week. And I looked out, and I saw this big black limousine pull up in front of our church. And I wondered, who is this? And it must be somebody pretty important. And so I went to the door of the church, There was a man that stepped out of that vehicle. He had a uniform on. I found out later that he was a brigadier general, a high-ranking military man. He was carrying a little girl in his arms, and it was his daughter, I found out. He came to the door of the church, and he is a Muslim. He's not a Christian. But he said to me, "Sir, I have heard that you pray for people here in this church in Jesus' name, and they get healed. Is that true?" he said. I said, "Yes, sir. It happens all the time." He said, "Would you pray for my little girl? She's got polio. She cannot walk." My wife and I stood in the door of the church and prayed for that precious little baby. They left, but 2 weeks later, the big black limousine pulls up in front of our church the second time. This time, the brigadier general steps out of the vehicle. Instead of carrying his little girl in his arms, he's got her by the hand and she's walking along beside him. Praise God. My wife was standing at the altar area of the church. When they came in, she said, "Honey, come here." The little girl ran up the aisle of the church, embraced my wife. God had healed that little girl of polio. This is a man that was not a Christian, okay? And I'm telling you that because I want you to understand it's the faith that brings the miracle. Wherever God can find faith, that's where he goes. That's what he does. Praise God. I've seen Buddhists healed. I've seen Hindus healed. I've seen Muslims healed. God honors faith wherever he can find it. If there's faith here tonight in this room, God is going to honor that faith and give to you your miracle. So I could go on and on for another 3 hours, all right, and tell you story after story, experience after experience. But I want to tell you about this miracle over here in closing. That's my son. He was 5 years old. We had been in Pakistan only about a year and a half. And I was at the church. We were in the middle of a conference. I was actually standing in the pulpit when a man came running into the building to inform me that my little boy had fallen off the roof of our house and he had struck his head on concrete and smashed his head wide open. Our Muslim neighbor had taken my wife and my little son over to the nearest hospital. I rushed over there. I ran into the emergency room. And there was my little boy, our only son, gasping for breath. By now, his head was twice normal size. The doctor that was there, I knew him personally. He put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "Don, I have to tell you this. This is hopeless. There is no chance that he can survive this accident. He has massive brain injury." He commenced to tell me his brain's coming out through his left ear, which he said was probably a good thing. It was a hopeless, hopeless situation. And I could go on and tell you many things that took place the next 3 days. But after 3 days, all hope was gone. Faith was needed. Here we are 10,000 miles away from home. In a very remote area of the world where there's little or no medical help. I tried for 3 days, Brother Greeley, to get a call through to our office in St. Louis. I never did get a call through. It was impossible. Nothing would go through. But God knew where we were. God knew where we were. After 3 days, all hope was gone. There was no pulse. There was no breath. I believe my son had already passed. My wife ran out of the room screaming and saying, "I can't stand to watch my boy die." I remember as I took my little boy in my arms and I pulled him close to me. And I fell down on my knees in that hospital ward. There was about 100 people standing around watching. They'd never seen anybody pray like this crazy foreigner. They were all just watching. There was about 14 or 15 nurses there. They had just given up. There was no hope. While I was crying out to God, and I said, God, I know you're a miracle worker because I've seen you do miracles. I've seen you make blinded eyes see. I've watched you make crippled people walk. I know you can heal my son. It is my time. And I was screaming my head off. It is my time, God. I need a miracle. I need it now, God. And while I was praying that prayer, suddenly I felt fingers tapping me on my left shoulder. I turned around and I looked. There was a gentleman standing right here beside me, behind me. He did not say much to me. He did not give me his name. He looked like a Pakistani. He was dressed like a Pakistan man would dress. But he said to me, sir, God has sent me to pray for your son. That's all he said. He reached his hand down and touched my little boy on the forehead. When he prayed, my son immediately opened his eyes. Immediately. And began to speak. Daddy, I'm sorry I climbed up on the roof. That was the first thing he said. He thought he was in trouble, all right? And he was. That was in 1975. I turned around. I wanted to get acquainted with this gentleman. In my mind, I'm thinking he's a preacher. He's a minister. I did not know him. But when I turned to get acquainted with him, he had left. I don't know who that was. I've never seen him, to my knowledge. I've never seen him again. I would really like to see him again. Maybe I have seen him, didn't know it. I tell you what I believe. I believe it could have been an angel. An angel that God sent down all the way down from glory to touch my boy. Praise God. Next picture, please, if you will. Well, that's him. All right, the next picture. That's him. That's him. He's the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Got three sons, his family, his wife. He's absolutely normal. He has no problems. No problems at all. If he walked in here right now, you would never guess he ever had any kind of an accident of any sort. I'm telling you, this is a miracle. How many need a miracle tonight? How many can believe God for a miracle tonight? Praise God. In this place, in this service, God is here as the miracle worker. So in conclusion tonight, we are going to speak faith. We are going to proclaim and speak healing. In the name of Jesus, we loose miracles in this house. It doesn't matter what the doctor has said. Should I repeat that? It doesn't matter what the doctor said. The Word of God says, I am healed. I am healed. So worship, worship. You see, worship is faith. And we must worship. Praise God. We're going to have a prayer line here. And I don't know if you're familiar with some people call it an old-fashioned prayer line. We used to have it when I was a kid quite often in our church. We call it old-fashioned prayer line. I call it the miracle line, all right? It's a miracle line. Praise God. And I would like to have about four or five of the leaders, your leaders and ministers.
I'd like to have Brother Dyke and my wife come up, and Sister Brown, Sister Jerry. Amen. Sister Hanscom. They're going to come right up the center aisle. And then they'll go back around the side aisles. So come up, please. Brother Andre, come on. Brother Fred, come on. Amen. Okay. One aisle. Okay.
Right,
all right, hold on. Okay. This. I'm getting redirected. Everybody. And I'm going to be the first one in line because I've had a drippy nose for days. That's why I was doing fist bumps this morning. But I believe that everybody in here has something God can do for you. I believe that God can do a miracle.